Hey, this is Jeremy Roenick, and guess what? You guys are listening to the Jim Bob Show.
Hey, this is Wayne Larrabee, and you're listening to Roar on WGN.
Hey, this is Jim McMahon, and you're listening to the Jim Bob Show.
I had to pop a beer for this one.
Attaboy.
Yeah.
Hey, this is Brian Urlacher, and you're listening to the Jim Bob Show.
That's awesome.
Oh,
that's
it. How about one? This is Brian Urlacher. I'm not a bitch.
No.
That's about, you love that one, huh?
Half the coaches in the league. The Mondays were the worst. And that's when you really got tested, when you came off a tough loss. You got into the office on Monday. You found out two more players were hurt. You didn't realize. The sky's always falling in the NFL on Mondays.
Yeah, they're 40-1, which is shorter than I thought. You know, it.
Why aren't they 100-1?
Yeah,
you know?
I know.
720 WGN High atop Chicago Skyline Studio. It is the Jim Bob Show Game Day Edition, heard right here and on great stations all around the country. Jim Bob, another week in the books, and things are happening. Teams are winning. Teams are losing. Teams are losing some players while other teams gain players. There's a lot going on.
Well, I'll tell you, again, we're at this part in the season where, you know, the injuries really start coming about, and we had some bad ones this week. I'll tell you what, the worst is the Lions losing Aiden Hutchinson, who's a great, great player. And it's a big loss to the Lions, and really he was somewhat the heart of that defense there. And he brought the heat, man, coming off the edge.
So you look at some injuries, that's always going to happen. And every time that we talk with a guest or you and I break down the action, we, you know, we can kind of make our predictions of what's going to happen. But always the injuries, hey, if everybody stays healthy, maybe this is where we'll be. Well, look at this. You got the Jets coming up, and I wanted to get your thoughts on this. This is not something that you see on a regular basis, which was maybe just what the doctor ordered, just what Aaron Rodgers ordered. He gets like his dream player on a team that definitely needs some help.
Well, Devontae Adams trade in the middle of the season is probably one of the biggest blockbuster trades during in season. I mean, we had big trades. I mean, we had, you know, the Herschel Walker trade was huge. I mean, you know, pretty much built the entire Dallas franchise back in the days and so forth. But if we look at some of these past trades, I don't think that any is as blockbuster as this one could possibly be. I mean, in season, I'm talking about in season. I mean, it's a big trade.
And have you seen it, Jim Bob, too? You can have teams that maybe need help in a certain area or need help on the defense or need help running back, or but to have a specific player that a specific star player basically kind of ordered. This was orchestrated. There was nothing random about this. As you know, Aaron Rodgers wanted his star receiver, and it looks like he got him.
Well, here's the deal. Aaron Rodgers, you know, his timeline to make it something happen for the Jets is limited. I mean, he is getting a little long in the tooth, and he wants to do it now. I think Woody Johnson, the owner of the Jets, wants to do it now. And so this is the trade that needed to happen for them if they're going to do it. Otherwise, I mean, from what I saw with the Jets, and they played the Bills pretty tough. I mean, but also, too, I mean, there was a million penalties in that game. It was a sloppy game. Fourth quarter was just, it seemed, one of the comments of that the referees were getting so much attention that they were going to get SAG cards. You know, I mean, so I mean, that was part of the deal. But, you know, this week, though, we've got some great high-profile games, man. There's a lot of them. I mean, it's a Super Bowl rematch. We've got the Kansas City Chiefs taking on the San Francisco 49ers. The Vikings and the Lions are matching up as well. And so some of these big profile games, the Battle of Ohio that's going on, which it's not much of a battle, but I will tell you, I said last week the Bengals are the best 1-4 team in the league. Well, now they're 2-4.
But are they the best 2-4 team?
They are the best 2-4 team still in the NFL. So I just want everybody to know that. So I'm expecting them to put a hurt on Deshaun Watson. The Browns offense is simply miserable. I can't even I hate even watching it. It just makes me, God, they're just so bad.
You mentioned so many people anticipating it.
Everybody thought Deshaun Watson was going to light it up. I mean, I want my money back. If they go, well, whatever we paid him, let's get it back.
We're going to see a game that I think for our listeners, a lot of people are paying attention to. So many people invested in that NFC North. And this is it, right? The dominance. And it may not be the two teams you thought were going to be competing for the division lead, but they're there, right? The Vikings have certainly earned their way to that top spot, and the Lions, they have their hands full.
Well, I'll tell you what, they have earned their way to the top. Is the Detroit Lions, you know, this is for the first place, you know, and the Vikings are undefeated, and so the Lions just trounced the Cowboys on the road. However, that loss of Aiden Hutchinson is going to be a big deal. I think that Minnesota is going to win this game, and they're going to end up victorious. I think that Sam Darnold, they've got him playing within the system and not turning the ball over. And Justin Jefferson, to me, is I like Justin Jefferson as the best receiver in the league. I think he's better than Devontae Adams right now. And Sam Darnold knows he's smart enough to get him the ball. So the Lions are going to get theirs. Jared Goff is going to get his points and score. But it's going to be a fun game to watch. But the Vikings are going to win that game.
Other action within the division, you've got the Packers that are finding their way to a winning record. And you know, they're doing well, but I feel like they're sort of stumbling along the way, capitalizing on some teams that are making some mistakes. You know, they're still winning some of these games, but they're not playing their best football.
They haven't yet, but there were some moments where they made Arizona look real pedestrian. And Todd McMurray, who's a dynamic quarterback, just seemingly wasn't very dynamic. And so kudos to Green Bay for that. But, you know, the Houston Texans come to Green Bay. Packers are favored by 3. This game features, you know, two of the best passers in the league. You know, C.J. Stroud, a great young quarterback. Jordan Love, great young quarterback. Both of them can put up big numbers in the passing game. Both of them, you know, can do some dynamic things, you know, with their feet. So the problem is the Texans are coming off 2 consecutive road games. And, man, that is tough. I mean, you're beat up. You don't get the treatment that you need. And that extra day or so, it really does matter. 2 weeks on the road and not getting the opportunity to recover as well, I think it's tough. I think the Packers are going to get the best of these guys.
Not to mention heading into one of the best and most effective of home field advantages in all of sports in Lambeau Field. And of course, Jimbo, we don't want to ignore the elephant, I mean the bear, right in the room. They're on a bye week, but the Bear fans, I mean, I have not seen Bear Nation more excited, and with good reason.
Well, with good reason. You know, we invested in the Bears. I mean, we put the El Bandito suite and the Wanna Parlay suite there at Soldier, because what I saw in preseason when I went up to camp and watched him play, I go, man, that guy's smooth. I followed Caleb Williams when he was OU and when he went to USC, and there's nothing really controversial about him. He's good. Okay. I mean, he's just good. I mean, and the controversies of early on were, you know, the Bears coaching staff not making the changes on the front line. I mean, that offensive line played horrendous the first couple of games of the season. They seem like they've got at least go block somebody. I don't care who you block, and the guys are getting that mindset, and that's what it takes. And he looks so good in the pocket in the last couple of weeks, so smooth. And the game, to me, is slowing down for him. I can't even express to people, but when you first get into the league, and I got into it, everything went so fast. I mean, practice went fast, workouts went fast, and then the game went fast. And, you know, about that, honestly, but 4th or 5th game of the year, you start to settle. Your first year in, man, it does move quick. It's like being a freshman, you know, in high school, and how fast things seem to be moving from, you know, junior high, and then being that freshman in college, and, you know, and that adaption. So after about 4 or 5 weeks, you start settling in and the game starts slowing down, and you can see that progression for him. Is it going to get better for him? Every week, I think he's going to get more comfortable, and that's going to be dangerous for other teams.
You mentioned that adaption, the learning curve, and people making a lot of investments right in him, not only him in himself and his career and all that. El Bandito, Yankee, the Bears, everybody, all those fans investing in him. And there's a lot of players that have great success in the college level and never adapt fully to that pro game. You're seeing him do it in real time and pretty quick. Not maybe Jaden Daniels immediate, you know, kind of I get it, success. But you know what? It's positive, and the Bear fans are excited.
Well, I tell you what, our guest on our show this week, Dan Pastorini, who only played 7 full games in college and got drafted 3rd in the NFL, which is unheard of.
How does that even happen?
I don't know, but it's unheard of. But, you know, talk about...
Was there nobody else like that played more?
Well, well, first of all, Jim Plunkett was the first round draft choice, the number one, and then Archie Manning was 2, and then Pastorini was 3. And, you know, this is a guy that only played 7 games. I think that he got drafted at number three because he was just so damn good looking. I mean, everybody goes, God, we want him on our team. If nothing else, we'll put him on all the posters.
That's right. He'll be the cover of the game program.
Yeah, and we'll sell out. If we can't make it in the stands, we'll just sell the programs.
And for those people not familiar with Dan Pastorini's good looks, don't take it from us. Take it from Farrah Fawcett.
Yeah, yeah. Danny dated Farrah Fawcett and June Wilkerson, and he dated, I mean, you know, if that guy was today, in today's world, with social media and everything that was going on, you know, Pastorini raced cars. I mean, he was a firefighter, a pro football player. He was in movies. He dated, you know, beautiful women, supermodels and actresses. I mean, who knows how much dough that guy would have made in the off season on things if he was doing what he did back in the 70s. And he was part of that Love You Blue era with the Houston Oilers. And what a great guy and great stories. And the fact that, you know, our show the next few weeks is going to be about, you know, people's careers that because of one bad call, you know, they didn't have instant replay all the time. They didn't have the ability to challenge. And Pastorini is part of one of those games where they should have beat the Pittsburgh Steelers, and they would have gone to the Super Bowl versus the Pittsburgh Steelers, and thus the Steelers dynasty is not what it is today, and the Houston Oilers dynasty certainly takes a different turn. So we're interviewing people that had one play in their career that really could have been instrumental to going the other way.
Something as big as of a no-brainer is instant replay seems positive, but you know, like any good idea, there's a lot of people on the other side saying you shouldn't do it. Back when they did it, they were like, oh, it'll take away the purity of the game, the human element in the
game. I don't want human element in the game, especially, let me tell you why today it's important, is that today there's so much money coming in regards to the wagering side of the game, and you know, I don't think that I felt that we were ever going to see $55 million a year quarterbacks. Well, we're going to see $60, $70 million quarterbacks in the future. All of the different streaming channels that came in, these just were additional income silos for the NFL. You got to fill the content. And so the next silo coming in is really going to be the gaming world and the fact that, you know, if we're sitting in a stadium and we've got 85,000 people there, today almost 23% of the people sitting in those stands and watching on television want to wager on every play. Wow. Think about the compounding element of that. That's really where I think the next big money source is going to come. The NFL fought this forever. Other places fought it forever, but it's just here to stay now, and it's going to be a big part of the future in regards to how contracts get looked at. I mean, you know, who's going to be the first $100 million a year player?
Is there any point where that bubble bursts, Jim Bob, where you feel like it's just not worth it and they can allocate that money to other places?
Yeah, you know, you look at it and you say, hey, where does it stop? Well, I mean, $55 million, $60 million a year to play the game is a ton of dough. Where do we see it topping out? I don't know, because technology certainly changed everything about it. I mean, all of the different, you know, you had three television stations. You know, you had NBC, ABC, CBS. The only guys playing, all right? They're the only guys paying for the content. Then
only, you know, so many commercials can fit in that one broadcast.
Yeah, and then here's the deal. Here comes the other streamers, okay? So you got Prime, you got Hulu, you got Paramount. And so those brought additional income streams into the NFL and just really changed the game. And then now the gambling side and the betting side and the wagering side is going to change the future.
You mentioned additional business getting involved, whether it's wagering or just revenue streams and other silos. And now you've got other countries, right? As the NFL expands, Bears coming off of a big win in London. And by all accounts, we had so many of our friends and fans and tail greeters and El Bandito fans and Timmy from the bus. A lot of people went over there, traveled. The assessment came back. The NFL is a huge hit overseas. And so how long do you think it is before we'll have teams that are based in those places, or we'll play maybe majorities of parts of some team season overseas?
Yeah, it's a great question, and I've thought about it. I've thought about the fact that, you know, is it the fact that, you know, we're the new kid in town? And if we were there every week, would we have these sellouts? I mean, you know, I don't know the answer to that. I mean, the reason we launched WANA.com in Brazil is because of the $1 trillion that's gamed and spent on wagering. $600 billion is wagered on soccer. And so I look at it as the NFL, it's unique, and people don't get to see it all the time over there. And so we're the new kid in town over there. And I think people gravitate towards that. Now, if you're So it's just like friendships. I mean, hey, yeah, he's been my friend for 5 years. But then the new guy comes in, he comes drawling into town, and he's got that beautiful hot girlfriend, and he's driving the smoking hot car. And I'll say, oh, God, he's interesting. And then all your old friends, you know, all your fun friends. So I think we're a little bit of that. I think the NFL's got a little bit of the new kid coming to town.
Yeah, but this new kid does have the hottest girlfriend and the best car, because if you look, they say that soccer is the world sport. You know, I've been a lifelong sports fan, and soccer, to me, compared to other things that I can be watching, hey, it's boring. The NFL is a great product. I think it's, I mean, obviously the reception has been really positive. I think people are going to love it.
I think when you look at it, and a lot of those people aren't used to seeing some of those hits. Of course, you got, you know, European football and rugby and everything. But, you know, we are talking about some of the best athletes in the world that are jumping out there in the 20-mile-an-hour zone plus and hitting each other. And you don't see some of that contact like we have in the NFL in these other sports. Otherwise, you know, heads would explode.
Well, and we talked a little bit about Dan Pastorini and how he was limited by just what was available at the time social media wise. Now, you know, our biggest stars are global stars. And so you have these people, and you look at how big and successful some of these soccer stars are. If the NFL's biggest stars become global, like Michael Jordan did, it's going to be huge.
No, I think I think you're right on that, man. I do. I think the fact that the stardom and so forth, it does resonate. And I think, and I'm not going to say this because I don't want to get beat up by our soccer fans that play on Wanted.com, Wanted Parlay, but I do like watching professional football more than I like watching soccer. So I just did that. I just went out there and said that.
Out on a limb here. Yeah, we are going to have more of that. Of course, we'll be talking professional football and less soccer, right? Just because that's
less soccer. But keep in mind, soccer is the number one sport in the world. Give it us kudos.
Yeah, the public is demanding, of course, for each and every game beforehand. Always win with the undefeated flavor of El Bandito Yankee and get out to your tailgater tailgate. We are going to be back with more. So keep it here. It's the Jim Bob Show Game Day Edition.